Okay, there we go. We're on. All right, so now this is might take me a minute or two, but I do have something I want to throw out there for everybody here if you want to discuss other things tonight, because we're changing it up a little bit tonight for Friday night because of the fact that we're testing, if you will, a YouTube stream, which is working out great. We got 59 people on YouTube, and we're only at 20 in the room right now, but we got four families on the radio, so we're looking good here. 61, we just hit 61 in the YouTube. So, anyway, I'm going to read you this first. Roger, you're still here, right? Because he's the one that asked the question. I'm pretty sure he's still here. Because I can't tell. I'd have to really, really scroll up. But I don't like to throw it out there if no one cares. Oh, I guess he's stepped away. Or did I put this on slow-mo? I think I put... No, I don't know if I put the text on slow-mo. 62, 63 in the YouTube. Okay. Just for giggles, I'm going to put... okay, so I'm working here. So bear with me, those of you listening to this recording. I really apologize. We are testing something tonight for the first time. We will not be doing this on Friday nights anymore. This will only be happening on Sabbath day. And so, okay, we're good. We're good. I'm just a little concerned about the upload. And okay. All right, it's creeping along, but we're going to be good, looks like. So anyway, 1 John 4:3 is where the prophecy comes in regards to Antichrist. And it says this, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it is already in the world. Now, yeah, Linda, SDA is in apostasy. And I got a page about that, www.sdaapostasy.org. We're not SDA, by the way, those of us here. And so, anyway, the Word of God is plain here in regards to 1 John 4:3, and the and I remember reading this as a first, right after I got out of the Catholic Church, and I was so praising God that I came across it and the way He lit it up for me. But if a church proclaims that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, then that church, according to this prophecy, is of Antichrist. And many Catholics to this day fight me on this tooth and nail. I mean, they proclaim that their church does see that Jesus Christ came into flesh, but does this church really say that Jesus Christ came into flesh? Because this is how crafty they are. It's kind of like when you look at the SDA church, too, because they have borrowed a lot from them, because there is a large section on SDA apostasy where the Vatican and the Adventist Vatican, I kid you not, there's an Adventist Vatican in Maryland, they shake hands a lot on doctrine behind closed doors, and we got a bunch of transcripts. And so they will do this stuff on a regular basis. Okay, looks like it's going to come up. But, okay, but let me just read you this thing here. Well, I'm not going to read it all the way. It says that, maybe I should. It says here, this is number 491. This is from the Vatican Archives, by the way. This is from their catechism books, what I used to teach from. Through the centuries, the church has become ever more aware that Mary, full of grace through God, and then they quote Luke chapter 1, verse 28, well, they just reference it, was redeemed from the moment of her conception. Nary a Bible verse to back that up. In other words, they're saying she was immaculately conceived, just like Jesus was immaculately conceived. I mean, and they say that this is what the dogma of immaculate conception confesses, as Pope Pius IX proclaimed in 1854. Now, going on, it says, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and the privilege of Almighty God, and by the virtues of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. Oops. And the reason I say oops is because, besides the fact that they lie about Mary and her state of salvation, to declare that Jesus Christ came to this world in a flesh other than the flesh the Catholic Church teaches we bear, is to preach that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Seriously, they're saying that Jesus Christ had a flesh that had no original sin, and then they say that we have a flesh that does have original sin, but Mary didn't. And again, there's no Bible verses to back any of this stuff up. This is dogma from Rome, period. In other words, their theology is They said it. You believe it. That settles it. And if you don't believe it, they burn you alive, boil you in oil, cut you in half. You know what they did during the Inquisitions. But they say that Jesus came in a flesh that was not stained with the stain we supposedly bear. And so to say Jesus did not have in his flesh what we have in our flesh is to say he did not come in our flesh. Now, here is the question and answer found on page 41 of the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine. It says this, question, what is original sin? Answer, original sin is the sin we inherit from Adam, the father of the human race. Seriously, they put this stuff in writing. But that's because, like the prophet Amos said in chapter 8, verse 11, after the plagues start falling, most people are not going to be able to, they're not going to be able to understand Scripture, but when the plagues start falling, they're finally going to realize that Christians like us were telling them the truth. And so what they do is they start clamoring around all over the planet, just like Amos said, looking for some kind of pat on the back that you're going to make it. And only Christians are going to be doing this, by the way. There's going to be billions of Christians going to hell because they're not doing what the Bible says Christians should be doing, especially when you see Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5. And so they're going to be running around looking for answers to the, you know, like, do we, you know, have salvation? Are we going to make it home to heaven? Because right now they realize that the seven-year trib was alive. They realize the secret rapture was alive, finally. They finally realize that the real Christians were telling the truth, and so now they're trying to get information. You know, like the parable that Jesus said in regards to the 10 virgins? Half of them are telling them, you know, let's just buy some of your oil. You can't buy your oil, because oil in prophecy means the Holy Spirit. You can't purchase that. And did you notice in the parable Jesus tells them to go back into the village and, you know, buy some oil? Keep in mind, this is during the time you can't buy and sell. But they can, because they have received the mark of the beast. So, according to the Roman dogma, original sin is something that we all inherit from Adam, right? In other words, he's our great, 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 let's go on for a half an hour saying that, father, grandfather, right? Well, probably is with the Bible, it proves that to be a bold-faced lie. Because it is written in Ezekiel 18:20. You see, this is my point I was making earlier about Amos. Most people don't read Bibles today. It's just like the convenience store down the block. Christianity has become convenient. In other words, let the preacher go to seminary for 4 to 8 years. Let him do all the legwork and the studies. We'll just trust you. Doesn't it remind you of something Isaiah said about preach unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits? See, that's why the seven-year trib is so attractive to them. Because you don't have to repent or nothing. I mean, everything, you're just going to be pulled out of here in a secret rapture. That's the smooth thing. And that's why it says at the end of that prophetic statement in Isaiah that they'll be caught off guard in an instant. That's one of the verses I'll be using tomorrow in the sermon. So, check out what Ezekiel 18:20 says. And remember, the Catholic Church says original sin means you are guilty, you have the sin of Adam and Eve on you. So, your great-great-grandfather committed a sin, and it's in your heart right now. According to the Catholic Church, that's the definition of original sin. Notice what Ezekiel 18:20 says. It says, "Thou, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." The word of God plainly states there is no such thing as original sin. It's just not there. We are born with the sinful nature, yes, but we don't have sin as infants. I mean, it's impossible. And so we choose to sin when we come to the age of accountability. I mean, Jesus was also born with a sinful nature. Difference was, he chose not to sin ever. However, Mary did. And you could prove it. Go to this Bible verse. When you go, I'll see if I can... Yeah, I can type something in here. Let me just see if I can... I'll put it in the chat, both chat rooms. See, let me just get it here from... I'm using eSword. I'm just under 7 gig running on my computer, so I'm good. Yeah, I'm still testing. So, I think it's in Luke. Yep. All right, so let me go there. And somebody probably already beat me to it in the room. But it's not like that's never happened before. Like Sean. And because he's a moderator and he has the ability to throw these verses in there. Let me just see if he did it. Oh, no, nobody did. Okay, cool. Oh, that's right, he's West Coast. They're still probably at the 9-to-5 job. Yeah, take 3 hours away. Yeah, they're on their way home. Okay, there's the verse in the chat room, and here I'm going to put it in the YouTube. Luke 1, verses 46 and 47 says this, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Riddle me this. If Mary was immaculately conceived, as we read earlier from page, 491 in the Catechism of the Vatican website, if she was conceived without sin and never had any sin whatsoever, why does she need a Savior? She can be a Savior herself. That's why I have a page on the website called God Mary. Well, it actually is, do they Catholics worship Mary? Because there's all sorts of statements from the Vatican stating that Mary is co-redeemer, co-savior too. So, God bless you too, Teddy. So, amen. And I hope Roger's still here because he was the one who wanted to ask the question. So, okay, we're already 15 minutes into it. Let me get some water here. Wait, let me see if I can get in the room. View messages. All right, I'm going to use Pale Moon because it's, Firefox just ain't playing friendly. Let me see, go into the room here. And we got 25 families in there now. Oh, still asking for, well, I got it on the hard drive, so let me get it over here. Oh, there it is. And I'll just run it and see if it'll run nice. Okay, let me shut the browser off just to be safe. Well, let's see if we can get in the chat room because it would not install Flash earlier. And I think it had to do with the fact that the updates weren't there that it wants to shake hands with. Next. Upgrade. Finish. All right, let me just give me a second here. I apologize again for those listening to the recording. Nope. I ain't doing it. So I'll mess with that later. I'm not going to mess with it now. So, and I'm not going to mess with Firefox because that's about as annoying as pulling teeth. So anyway, getting back, I have some studies here that I'll throw it up there. I've got four studies because we usually do something completely different on Friday nights, but because we're testing this thing out with YouTube, I was, why don't we just do like a Q&A or just a study kind of thing? And thank you again, Roger, for that question in regards to original sin, because a lot of people don't know that about that. In Protestant churches, they're teaching original sin. But then again, they're also teaching Sunday Sabbath when there's not a single Bible verse to back it up. And I've got $5,000 cash for you if you could find that verse, because there ain't one. So my money's safe. So here, I got four different studies here, or pile of notes that I got. Some of them back from 1996, I kid you not. I think this one here, if you break the Sabbath, you've actually broken all 10 of the commandments. If you want, I can do that one. Or he magnified the law, because a lot of people think that the word fulfilled, Jesus came to fulfill the law, means he did away with it. Really? How does that happen? How can the 10 commandments be a prophecy? Well, the ordinances of Moses were all prophetic statements, feast days. He fulfilled those, but they like to mix it up like that in the churches. What's going on here? Windows could not install important update. Who cares? All right, so and then the other two are heaven. What are we going to be doing in heaven when we get there? There's a lot of things that people don't know that we're going to be doing in heaven, and then hellfire, the real meaning of hellfire. So which one do you think I should be doing here tonight or touching on? How about the law, the first one there, about if you break the Sabbath? This one here I did back in the notes on it from 2006, so that's 12 years ago, March actually. Now, SDA is in apostasy, Linda. They are in an apostate state. Probation has actually closed on all the churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Not on the people yet. Don't get me wrong. I got a page on the website all about it, but it hasn't closed on the people yet. Sir, law is good? Okay. Heaven? Oh, Vicky's putting out heaven. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, you guys in the room, you know, if Warren turns the chat, text chat back on, because I got to vote for heaven, I got to vote for the law in YouTube. And so I could do that, yeah. Brother Gilbert, I got a page on the website all about tongues. The real way to speak in tongues is if you speak English and you stand in front of a group of people that speak Swahili, let's say, because we do have record of someone doing that. The people in the crowd will hear you speak Swahili, even though you're speaking English. That's what happened on Pentecost. That's why the Lord made sure that it was all these different dialects coming to the city at that time. They all heard them in their native tongue. This gibberish that you hear from the Pentecostal churches, and I don't mean to be mean or anything like that, but, you know, the Kenneth Copeland types and all that, that is the easiest fruit of the Holy Spirit to fake, because no one really knows what you're saying. But the Bible says if you're going to speak in tongues, two or three speak in tongues at the most. Well, we'll step into the Pentecostal church. They're all doing it, including the pastor. And then if anybody speaks, don't speak unless there's an interpreter, and they never have an interpreter. Well, sometimes they do, but 99% of the time they don't. That's not tongues. That's the one you could fake. Because think about it. If you try to fake prophecy and you're wrong, oops, you're a false prophet. If you try to fake a spirit of healing, that you have the ability to heal people and they die, well, you're exposed. But you can fake tongues. We got another one voting for the law. And the room, heaven, hell, actually four for heaven. Four people are asking about heaven in the chat room here. And we got two for the law on YouTube so far. That's looks like heaven's winning. Five now, and one more on the law. So we got three altogether. We got people in the... Oh, another one in heaven, Kathy, Sister Kathy over there. She wants heaven. She's on YouTube saying heaven. So now we're at six for heaven. So I think the heaven has it. So let me close this one. And close the... Well, let me just do a real quick speed test because... Oh, we're down to 58 on YouTube. We were really up there, 67 there a minute ago. Speed test. Wow. The upload was, the download was, see, this is very confusing. Why is it the download was at 8 a few minutes ago, and now it's back up to 25? I'll never figure out bandwidth. Okay. And then Gilbert, he's also voting for heaven. So now we hit 7. 7 heaven. Oh, look at that. How's that working out? Okay, let me see if I can get this done in 30 minutes. Well, I'll probably go over a little bit, a couple minutes maybe. Okay, so we're at 23 down, 14.9 up, so we lost a meg going up. But that's to be expected because we got a bunch of people in the chat room. We'll lose about a meg for every 20 people. And we got 10 for the base, which is good because there's other things running on the server right now that I'm not shutting down so people can hit the site and stuff. So let me get my notes up for heaven. I got a page about heaven, too, but this here is from 1996, March 30th, 1996. I share this. But first, let's answer a few questions in regards to heaven. Who's the architect and builder of the city we're going to be living in once we arrive there? Well, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Amen and amen. And by the way, we could put these, like, I don't know if we have any moderators here. If anybody here, like God is Truth or somebody, I know him. I can't see but, like, maybe four texts in YouTube because I've got all these different things going on. So if anybody here, or Gilbert, I know Gilbert. So if anybody wants to be a moderator, or just, yeah, anybody can put the verses in, but I can't put them in two different places, though, at the same time. Okay, now, where is the city? Now, here's some of the questions that I asked of myself when I went into the scriptures back when I first left the, well, I think I had already left the Catholic Church for quite a few years. Yeah, I was 11 years out of it by now, so I was already keeping Sabbath by now. So I think I started keeping Sabbath in 95. But anyway, where is the city? I got to turn this fan up. Hold on. Nope. There goes that headset again. Okay, what was that? Something fell down. I got to find out what fell. Oh. The post office scale. Oh, well, I didn't break it. No, it still turns on. I get my, I'll tell you, these wires. I'm going to have to get, this headset does not let you go wireless, though. Yeah, there's no way it's going to unplug. Okay, so where's the city? Well, according to Revelation 21:2, it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So we know where the city's at. Well, what's the size? Now, this is neat. I did some research on this again, and I actually have a little note on my desktop because we were going over this, and I forgot about this study that I had back in 96, and so I had to re-study this up, and now I just noticed I should have just gone to this study. But Revelation 21:16 says, "And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." That's one huge cube. Hold on a second. It's my water jug. All right, so 12,000 furlongs actually comes out to be 1,500 miles on the perimeter. In other words, that's 375 miles on each side for a city. Think about this. All right, New York is 23 square miles. That's counting, or if you count the suburbs, because it goes out there, that's 308 square miles. Heaven is actually 140,625 square miles, if you do the math. That's a big city. You know, if you look at a globe when your teacher's it's a cube, not a pyramid. But anyway, I wouldn't think it'd be a pyramid. I don't know. We'll find out when we get home, okay? The Bible doesn't go into any. It says the height, width, and all that other stuff. So it could very well have just a giant mountain in the middle, you know, for all we know. I mean, there are some artist renditions to that effect, but, you know, unless you've gone and come back, which no one can do because God does not make mistakes, unless, of course, you go in vision, and even there, he has not given utterance unto anybody that has been in vision to see those things, to share them down here. But that's a big city. Like I was saying, like if you had a globe in your classroom, and take a pen and you just put a dot, let's say, up near the Great Lakes in Illinois. That dot is the city of Chicago with its suburbs. But if you take the city of heaven, what is it going to cover? Like maybe one half of the top of the whole state? I think it's almost the size of what state was. Let me look. I think which one was it that I was looking at the other day? I was talking to somebody, but I think it's Wyoming. Which state is it that's like a square? It's pretty close. One of the states, there's almost like 400 squares, something like that. That's a big city. And so, but, you know, it's a big universe that he's made, too. So, and the name of the city is obvious. It's New Jerusalem. You know, again, Revelation 21:2. And the walls, now, There's no mistake here in regards to the walls with 144 cubits, but check it out. It says Revelation 21, verses 17 and 18. And there's some pretty interesting stuff in here about some of the things we're going to be doing in heaven that most of you had never heard of. I would think most of you here are Bible readers on YouTube. I know everybody in our chat room is, but I don't know everybody on YouTube. So, anyway, measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. Now, here's the problem. The only problem that I have with this is in calculating this cubit, or because it says the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. Because before the flood, mankind was a lot bigger than they are now. We have shrunk considerably over the years. the angels, too, are a little taller than mankind, too, so it's kind of hard to figure the cubits there. But the building of the wall, it says, it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And so before the flood, or no, after the flood, rather, a cubit is about 18 inches. So the wall, if it's based on our size today, is about 216 feet tall. That's nearly 20 stories for just the wall. And for those of you that live out here in the boonies, that's two water towers stacked on top of each other. I know I used to paint them, so they're about 100 even, well, about 120. So, but the gates of the city, it goes on here, it says in the Revelation 12, well, everybody knows all this. I'm going to get some of the stuff you guys probably never heard of before. The foundation has all these things. Okay, that's 12 foundations with all these amazing. Could you imagine just like on planet Earth coming across a 100-foot tall vein that goes for 375 miles of, say, amethyst or beryl or topaz? Oh, you'd be set for multiple lifetimes. That's the foundation. I mean, it's just 12 different precious jewels, you know, that make up the foundation. Now I'm just going to give you some Bible references because otherwise we'll be here all night. We will not have any disappointments. We will not have any trouble. We will not have any hunger or thirst, according to Revelation 21:4, Isaiah 33:24. And if you want these notes, there's a page on my website you can get all this. And you just email me or I'll put it in here. Thanks, Tori. For putting those links. Isn't that annoying? Yeah, you got to put the dot, D-O-T, you got to put there. That's YouTube for you. And then Revelation 22:3, Isaiah 65:23, and Revelation 7:16, that all touches on disappointment, trouble, hunger, or thirst. None of those things are going to be in heaven. So, oh, wow. I forgot about that, Pyra. Look what Pyra put in the room. Each stone has a different frequency also. Anybody that's messed with electronics, you would know that. Okay, now we'll never get tired, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Every saved person, check this out, will be physically whole in every way. The deaf will hear, the blind will see, the dumb will sing, the lame will be able to run. That's Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, and Philippians 3, 21. Jealousy, fear, hatred, falsehood, envy, impurity, cynicism, filth, worry, and all evil will be forever shut out of God's kingdom. That's Revelation 21, verse 8, 27, and then Revelation 22, verse 15. The deserts on planet Earth will become gardens, Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 1, because at the end of the 1,000 years, the city of heaven descends from above, and it goes on planet Earth. And then that's when, you know, the wicked rise up for, I'm not going to get into all that right now, but the wicked are going to rise up a little season, it says in the scriptures. A prophetic little season would be a short lifetime, let's say. And they're going to get up and they're going to be able to organize under Satan to surround the city to try to destroy it. But that's when the strange act that we were talking about earlier that the Lord does, and they all turn to the ashes that Malachi says we will have under the soles of our feet. And so, in other words, when they're saying that you're going to live for all eternity screaming in hellfire, that's a bold-faced lie. That's why I put up the purgatory video today, too, because I've never had a page on the website specifically dedicated to purgatory. I mean, I have some stuff that I touched on it on the CCD page, but I want to go in depth. All right, so going on, the animals will be tame. None will prey upon others, and a little child will lead them. And Isaiah says that in Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 9, and then 65, verse 25. There'll be no more curses. The whole curse, whatever kind of curse, even aging, all gone. Revelation 22:3. No more violence of any sort, not even bad weather. Isaiah 60:18. So that includes tornadoes and floods and hurricanes and earthquakes. Nothing. And so and here's another thing too. If you live living in today's world, some people, and even myself, because you know I'm from an earlier generation, I guess you could say, because I'm in my 60s. But you get to a point where look back a little bit, because I remember when I was a little kid, I used to ask the older guys, you know, says, what happened before I was here? You know, is this the norm? Is that the norm? And a lot of them says, oh, no, we never had these kind of tornadoes and stuff. And so you do a little research and you go back and you realize that the floods and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the earthquakes that we have today wasn't there. It just wasn't like it was there, but it wasn't like it wasn't when the end times started, which was the end times began at the end of the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel. And the angel Gabriel actually gave him a date to start the prophecy. All you got to do is figure out where the 2,300 years ends. And that's why Rome changed the calendars to try to mix things up a bit. But they couldn't change the course of the week, so Sabbath is still the seventh day, because the Lord protected that, because he ain't getting around that. He ain't changing his law, even though you try, because that's what Daniel said in Daniel 7:25. But anyway, I'm going way off track. But nothing that defiles will be found in heaven. It's Revelation 21, verse 27. And this here I tried to share with a Baptist preacher. As a matter of fact, he was the guy that I was doing computer programming for back when I was still the Sunday keeper. Because he was trying to tell me that once saved, always saved, meant you went straight to heaven, even if you were a murderer, as long as you consider Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. I says, you know, there's 28 verses that I found so far, because I did a lot of street preaching, and I would give people two or three verses to back up a doctrine, because the Bible says, you know, here a little, there a little, you know, precept upon precept. I came up to 28 of them that showed that once saved, always saved was a lie. And I gave him this one here, and you know, because well, actually, I gave him Revelation 3:5. I think it was talking about how your names could be blotted out of the book of life because it means you were in there one time. Or even go to Hebrews chapter 6, my favorite area, where it says the person has the Holy Spirit and then loses it. They don't like that passage because it slams the daylights out of once saved, always saved. But Revelation 21:27 was kind of upset him that day because he was saying to me, because I says, well, okay, what if the guy's a mass murderer all the way up until the day he dies, like a Jeffrey Dahmer kind of a guy? He accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then he goes out on a killing spree, and he goes, oh, he'll still make it to heaven, but he'll be retarded for all eternity. Okay, then explain Revelation 21:27. Because if he's standing in there retarded, it means God is not a very good creator, is he? He didn't allow for, because it says the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the lame will walk. Well, that's what I love about these special kids. You know, I mean, they don't like being called that. I used to work with them for many years. My wife, more years. They never really come to the age of accountability, if you think about it. And will there be children in heaven? Check this out. A lot of people don't know this either. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5. It says, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Isn't that amazing? Is that amazing? Wait, hold on a second here. SDR Hawaii, is that Brother Warren on YouTube? Yes, sir. I think that's him, right? Yep. Okay. I thought I'd throw it in there, Brother Warren. Did you get that? I don't know if you could see it on your end. There. Oh, I kind of misspelled that, but check it out, Warren, what I put in the text chat there on POJM. Got it? All right, cool. All right. And then look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. When it talks about little kids in heaven, ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Think about all those aborted babies. Sad thing is, a lot of them won't have any mommies. They'll be raised. I mean, could you imagine childhood in heaven? Even if you had a beautiful childhood down here, it can't match what it's going to be like in heaven. Where the Bible even says a child will be 100 years old because you're allowed to just, you know, oh, man, it's amazing. And so, and plus, we will know each other in heaven from our lives here on earth. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, then shall I know, even as also I am known. And we will. But will we have flesh and bones, or will we be spirits like the Vatican teaches, you know, strumming a harp on a cloud? Well, Luke 24:36 says, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. You know, this is after he was crucified. So he resurrects, and he stands in the midst of the apostles, right? And he saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So now you're going to be strumming a harp. That spirit that goes back to he who gave it, look it up in your scriptures. It comes from the word pneuma. And look at what Job says about the spirit that is sent unto him from God into his nostrils. That's right. The spirit is the breath of life. It is not like a human spirit that's like a ghost. The Vatican invented that so your dead grandma could sit at the end of your bed one day and tell you of all these crazy things that they that shores up, you know, Catholicism. I used to do conjuring and stuff. I was into the occult before I was a Christian, as a devout Catholic, no less. The State of the Dead, I got videos about it. You're going to be shocked to see what actually happens when, what actually doesn't happen when you die, in fact. And but Rome had to have it faked so they can have Mary come from heaven and act like she's floating in a grotto telling people that she's the Virgin Mother, right? And as well as a bunch of other things. These demons know how to show up and look just like your dead grandma, talk like your dead grandma, smell like her, have this speech impediment if she has one, and the same hair, clothing, everything. They're angels. They're super intelligent. They can do this. I mean, some of us, if not all of us, entertain angels unawares. They can literally look like some guy off the street on the bus next to you. And you never even know you're entertaining an angel. You're being tested. We're all going to be tested. Okay, now, let me go on here. And then check this out in regards to the not being disembodied spirits in heaven. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. The Lord will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, according to his glorious body, that means after he gained heaven, went back to heaven rather. But then he came and stood in front of the apostles and told them he wasn't a spirit, he was flesh and bone, just like we will be. So we're going to have the same body as Jesus, and so there you go. How will we spend our time in heaven? Now check this out. Now this is, of course, after the 1,000 years. This one particular passage from Isaiah, this is after the 1,000 years is over and city of heaven is on, New Jerusalem is on planet Earth, and all the dead have already been burned up and turned into ashes to really refertilize the planet, if you will. And then there's no more oceans. It's just rivers, lakes, and streams. And then it says this in Isaiah 65, verses 21 and 22. Ah, this is beautiful. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. In other words, you're not going to be a construction worker and getting paid 9 to 5. No, you're building your own house, period. No one is going to buy it off you either. It's yours. All right, going on. So they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And this is why I've always said, I'm going to have a log cabin when I get home to heaven. It's going to be next to a lake, so that way I'm going to make a basement in the log cabin with a wall of glass so I can have the biggest aquarium ever because I love fish. I mean, I like watching them because they never seem to sit still. And, well, some of them can't, like a shark. If it ever sat still, it'll drown. And but the log cabin is not going to be made out of dead trees I cut down. No, no. You ever see that bridge? I don't know what part of Africa it's in, but there's this generation of families that have kept the bridge going across this chasm for centuries. This one family has, you know, carried down how to care for this bridge since their great-grandfather days, right? And they just keep on. Also, the bridge is just the roots of some trees on the edge of these two cliffs that are like, a couple hundred feet apart in this chasm. It's a living bridge. It's just roots, and they keep it alive. They keep it well fed. They keep it, you know, trimmed and twisted around so that you can walk across it, and it's perfectly. That's how I'm going to build my log cabin. Well, that's going to take an eternity. So do I care how long it's going to take? All right, let me go with this next one here. I got, and we're also going to have the mansions too. Don't forget about that. You know, you can leave the city anytime you want, and the planet's going to seem a lot bigger then because there's no more oceans, which is 75% of the planet now, right? So it's going to be a lot more travel that you could do and check out on just this one planet, and you can pick anywhere you want to build your house. But you still have the city Jesus made for you. It's in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. And so, let's see here. Oh, yeah, and there are other worlds. For those of you that don't think, I mean, can I look up? Especially, come out to my neck of the woods. Get away from the city. Come out here in the boondocks, you know, where you got corn or soybean wrapping your house, right? Go out on a night like this, clear night, and look up. You see that cloud up there? I mean, let your eyes adjust for, you know, 5-10 minutes. That is not a cloud. It's a very small postage-sized stamp section of the seventh spiral on our galaxy. Those are stars. There are trillions of planets up there. And stars, obviously, to keep the people warm wherever planet that happens to be three orbits away. And we're going to be able to check out these other worlds. Well, some people have a hard time understanding that, but then explain Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12, which says, "Hath in these last days spoken of us unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds," plural? Plural? I mean, come on, it's eternity. We're going to want things to do. You don't have to just stay here all the time. I mean, look at all. Doesn't it also say in the Word that we're going to be able to look upon that which he has created? Well, I kind of want to go over to the deepest regions of the universe and check out that one little tiny dinky planet he just started working on. Because, like, the nebulas, those are planet factories. They've already proven that with the Hubble telescope pointing it at Orion. So look at Hebrews 11, verse 3. It says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds," again plural, "were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And then Psalm 97:6 says, "The heavens declare his righteousness, and the people see, and all the people see his glory." So we're going to be able to check this stuff out. And then let me go down a little more here, see what else I got. Oh, and by the way, I'm sure everybody knows this, but Satan was cast to this planet and this planet alone. And this is why, now I really hope you hear me what I'm saying here, and you wrap your brain around this and research it up, you know. But Satan can't go to those other worlds. He can't go there. And those people can't come here. They don't want to. I mean, think about it. They're watching what's going on down here, yeah. But they have no say-so in what's happening. No, well, yeah, I guess you could call it that, Pyra. Prison planet, yeah. But, well, when it's all said and done, yeah, there'll be forever the ashes underneath the soles of our feet. But over the course of time, the ashes get deeper and deeper, deeper into the soil, obviously. But my point in all this is Satan was only cast to this planet because we, the human race on this planet, are the only ones chosen by the creator of the entire universe to be his ambassadors on the other worlds. No, I'm not talking about hail bopping, jumping into some ship, drinking Kool-Aid. Let's wait till Jesus gets here to take care of us, okay? Now, we're not a bunch of weirdos and date setters and all this other garbage. We know what the Bible says. Those UFOs you see up there, those are just fallen angels acting like that to try to make people. And have you ever noticed every time they get a UFO that the person that sees it runs into the house and tries to find the most junkiest camera he could find to take a picture of it? And in today's world, when you got megapixel cell phones, how come they can never seem to get a good picture of these things? And so, plus, it's no such thing. And we know that the Vatican invented the UFO agenda. I did a newsletter on that, and I think I did a video on it, too, where I zoom in on these three paintings that are hanging in the Vatican right now that were painted in the 16th century. And one, I think, was painted in the 18th century, if I can recall correctly. And I got it, like I said, in a newsletter with the pictures, and you click them, and it zoom, they get up to normal size. You can zoom in and check it out that they say a UFO impregnated Mary. And put a demon, an alien seed, and they call it Immaculate Conception. In other words, Jesus Christ is an alien from another world, according to the Catholic Church. But they won't say that outright. They just say it in the paintings they got hanging up there. And then they got another one, a UFO. They got two other ones. I can't remember what the other ones were. The one that bothered me the most was the one they were saying that Mary was impregnated by an alien being. And so that was bad enough for me. But like that's why I did the newsletter, and I found those other two paintings. And I thought, well, that kind of puts the nail on their coffin. So the question is, are you now in training to be an ambassador for Christ for all eternity to witness onto other worlds? So as to glorify the Lord, thy God, Savior, and King for all eternity? Or are you training to be the ashes underneath our feet? That's a question we all got to ask ourselves, every single solitary one of us. I mean, can we as humans ever contemplate heaven completely? Well, both the Old and New Testament confirms this. Isaiah 64:4. And I'll close with this. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. And then in the New Testament it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, because you know, when they preached, now check this out, when Jesus and the apostles preached, what Bible did they use? And so many people out there saying that the Old Testament's garbage, don't even bother, just read the New Testament. You know the gospel message is in the Old Testament? The fact that that's the only Bible they used to preach from that got people saved shows people that that lie that the Old Testament is old and useless. No, the word testament has been twisted around, so it means old covenant. The original covenant was mankind, you don't commit any sins, and then your heavenly Father will bless you with long life, prosperity, health, prosperity, and all that, and you'll make it home to heaven. Mankind said, yeah, we'll do it at Mount Sinai, you remember? Well, in less than a week, I think they went into sin, but by the time 40 days came, they'd done it all. They broke all 10 commandments, right? And so God said there had to be a new covenant or New Testament. But here's the difference. The old covenant stated, if you keep his law, then you will make it home. Problem was, mankind proved they can't keep it. None of us can. None of us can keep his law. Can't be done. The Jews prove it all the time, right? And so the new covenant was, okay, I'll still bless you if you keep my law. The only difference now is I'm going to write it in your hearts. And the only way that I'm going to write it in your hearts, and the only way I can write it in your hearts, is if you accept my son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. He'll send the Comforter. He'll put it in your heart. He'll write the Ten Commandments right in there so that it's not even grievous. It says in the Scriptures, not even grievous to keep his law. It becomes your second nature. That's why we, in other words, people say, well, you're keeping the Ten Commandments to get saved. Sorry. We don't keep the Ten Commandments to get saved. We keep them because we are saved. Period. That's why Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen, William. We're sealed by it. Unto the day of redemption. I mean, it's just like we're standing there and we know in our hearts that's wrong to do and we don't do it. Because his Holy Spirit moves us. And so that's how you can tell the difference between a Christian and a real Christian and one that hasn't quite embraced the truth yet. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hell unless they keep the Ten Commandments and, you know, and they still accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. No. I mean, if you die before the mark gets enforced, the Lord winks at your times of ignorance. He says it twice in the Scripture. He knows your heart. He knows if you understood this, you'd embrace it and keep his law because the Holy Spirit would help you. But there's going to come a day when that choice is going to be made by everybody on the planet. It's called the mark of the beast. See, the enemy of souls has always mocked the Lord. That's why he's got just as many different names as Jesus has. It's why he sets up governments the way New Jerusalem is set up. He uses everything that God uses, but he puts his little evil twist on it. He wants to be worshipped as a god. And have you ever seen my Mark of the Beast Explained video or the video in regards to how you can find the seal of God right there in the Ten Commandments, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, commandment number 4, it talks about the seal of God right there being his law. And that's why Satan targeted that one in our generation. Before it was commandment number 1 and 2, in our generation he targets commandment number 4. And that's why a lot of people get in our face, oh, you're Sabbath preachers. No. We'd have been, adultery preachers, if you would, if he decided to target number 7 or any other commandment. But he targeted number 4 because that one talks about the Creator. That's why commandment number 4 starts with a prophetic statement. It has the word remember. Literally, it has the word remember in it because the Lord knew we'd be taught to forget it. That's why the prophet Daniel says that the beast in Rome will think to change times and laws. That's why the Sabbath was changed to Sunday, and that's why the calendars were changed. But they couldn't change the course of the week. I got a whole page about that on the website. I even show that, I think it was in the 1580s or something like that, where they actually show a calendar from that time where it was like say, October something. Let me go there real quick. I'm not going to just fly off the handle here because I want to be able to quote this properly. I'll go on using this one. Hey, let's see. RCC exposed. Oh, I can go here on here. Yeah, because this one doesn't need flash. Let me just go to, let me zoom it in there for it. Wait, let's get this guy out of the way. Just throw him on the floor. Okay, so RCC exposed. Scroll down to, where is it? Catholic Doctrine, I think it is. I don't know. I can't see too well with this headphone on. Romans says, Jesus, okay, mate, words of Antichrist. Yep, there it is. Antichrist, go to Changing Times and Laws. Let me scroll down to that calendar. Check it out. Yeah, it was 1582. Now look at the calendar. On Thursday, it was October 4th. On Friday, it was October 15th. They weren't allowed to change the week. They could have said, well, Thursday, it's October 4th, and the next day is Tuesday, October 15th. But no, they said it was Friday, October 15th. The Lord protected the weekly cycle because he created in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And that's why the devil's been targeted ever since. So not much you can do there. But anywho, let me close this out. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. And we'll gab a little bit afterwards, I think. Not too long, though, because it's getting late here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for letting this all work out tonight and having as many people come in from YouTube like that. Thank you so much for blessing us in your word and changing the showbread on Sabbath like you do every week. And thank you for blessing the week ahead of us and the remainder of the Sabbath day, too. And please bless us when we all gather again tomorrow for church services and see what you would have us understand and grow in tomorrow. And again, we lift up everybody on our prayer list, everybody here on YouTube, in the room, and in the radio. And we thank you for blessing us all with salvation and the joy of our salvation. And thank you so much for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.